الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still pondering upon Surah number 79, Surah Al-Nazi'at. And last time we met, we spoke about five ayahs of this surah. And in these five ayahs, Allah Azza wa Jal is swearing by the angels. So Allah says, by those who pull out with great violence, by those who gently take out, and by those that swim along, and by those that press forward as in a race, and by those angels who arrange to do the commands of their Lord. So these five ayahs, Allah is taking an oath, and He's saying, by the angels, by the angels. But what is Allah swearing about? What is Allah making an oath about? So if I say, Wallahi, I will, and I don't say anything. Okay, you will what? You will eat, you will come, you will go to sleep, you will take something from me. What is it you're taking an oath over? Here, Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't mention that. And this is one form of the eloquence of the Qur'an's Arabic. And the scholars say that what Allah is taking an oath over has been deleted, but it is understood from what comes afterwards. So Allah is swearing and saying, by the angels, Allah swears by His angels, by the angels, you disbelievers will be resurrected and you will be held accountable for what you had done. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says in ayah number 6, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ. So by the angels, there will be a day of reckoning. When is that day? يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّاجِفَةِ. It is on the day the earth and the mountains will shake violently. The second blowing of the trumpet follows it. So we have two words, الرَّاجِفَةِ and الرَّادِفَةِ. الرَّاجِفَةِ comes from the verb to shake and tremble. So Allah is telling us that the Day of Judgment is when the earth would shake and tremble. And then it would be followed by الرَّادِفَةِ, which is the second blowing of the trumpet when the people are resurrected. So the first is the sign of the Day of Judgment, when the trumpet would be blown in for the first time. And this ends all forms of life on earth. And this causes the earth to shake and tremble. So Allah Azza wa Jal is indicating to us that الرَّاجِفَةِ is the blow in the trumpet, the first one, followed by الرَّادِفَةِ, where people are resurrected from their graves. And it is said that between the two blows, there would be a gap of 40 years. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows how long these years are. So this is something that every Muslim believes in. It would be unfair for someone to kill people and torture them and die a peaceful death and not be held accountable for what he had done. He has to suffer and he has to pay for what he had done. It would be unfair for those who sincerely worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal for so long, avoiding things that He forbids, and then not be given or rewarded with the highest rewards in paradise. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the most just of all. This could not happen. So, this is the scenario. The first blow, everyone dies, and the universe changes in a drastic way. The oceans turn into fire, the mountains turn into dust, and the skies and the earth and the moons and the suns and the stars, everything is transformed, as we will come inshallah and learn later on. On that day, listen to the description that Allah gives about the people. Allah says, قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ. Hearts on that day will shake with fear and anxiety. Of course, the people will be divided into two. people of no fear and no harm. And these are the believers. Allah says in the Qudsi Hadith, by my grace and honor, that I would never combine two for my servant. If he fears me in this life, I will not make him afraid on the day of judgment. And if he is not afraid of me in this life, I will terrify him on the day of judgment. So, on the day of judgment, there will be two divisions, two types of people. Those who are in comfort and security, they're safe from anything that burdens them. But there will be people whose hearts are filled with fear and anxiety. And these are the hearts of the disbelievers and the wrongdoers. It's not their hearts only. Allah says, أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَةً. Their eyes cast down. Their eyes are in humility and submissiveness. They look down. They cannot look up because they know that they come with burdened and heavy shoulders, with sins, lusts, and desires. It's pay time. And this is when they will be held accountable for what they had done. Their eyesight is limited. They cannot look around. How can they? They don't have the guts to do so. They know they're wrong. Now they've seen everything. In this life, they live in denial. No, we will be in paradise. We will be in the highest levels of paradise if there is a paradise, if there is life after death. So they're in denial. They don't believe. On the day of judgment, the veil will be taken away from their eyes and they can see everything. So they cannot look up. They look down. They cast their gaze down in humility because they anticipate what comes to them. Allah Azza wa Jal says about them in ayah number 10, يقولون أئنا لمردودون في الحافرة. When they're resurrected, when they're taken out of the graves, they say, who woke us up? Who is taking us out of our graves and of our resting places? You pass by the graves, you see R.I.P. Rest in peace. What peace are you talking about? Don't you know that disbelievers' graves are filled with hellfire? This is not hell. It's just a window that opens to them and they burn in hell. And this is nothing compared to what awaits them on the day of judgment. This is just a preview of what awaits them. So when they're resurrected, they cry and say, shall we indeed be returned to our former state of life? أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ. الْحَافِرَةِ could mean life, could mean earth, and it also could mean hell. But most likely, because they said, are we going back? Are we returning back? It is not in reference to hell. It is most likely in reference to life after death, meaning are we going back to this world? Now we thought we were dead. It's all over. Nobody told us that there will be another life. We always believed that there's no God, there's no heaven and hell. We always believed that once you die, that is it. End of story. Well, tough luck. There is a sequel to it, and this sequel is to eternity. They complain and wonder, أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرَةً. Is this possible? Even after we are crumbled bones? When we dig a grave, we see nothing except crumbled bones. Is it possible that we will be back in this form of life, in our bodies? If this is true, Allah says, قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذًا كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةٌ. If we were to be resurrected, and our crumbled bones to be fixed and reinstated in its original form, Allah says, they say it would in that case be a return with loss. This is not what we hoped for. This is not what we lived for. And surely this is not what we had died for. We thought, as disbelievers say, we thought that life began with being born and it ends with dying. That is it. So make the best of it. enjoy it as it lasts. And that is why we lived it to the fullest, so we thought. Because it's, as they say, you only live once. And Muslims don't believe in that. We believe that this is not the life we are looking for. Our life is in Jannah. And this is why we tolerate what we get. That is why we're patient and we worship Allah, though it's sometimes not as what our hearts desire. And that is why we refrain from things that we love and desire, because Allah does not love it. And that is why they complain, this is a return with loss. This is not what we wanted. We have a short break. Stay tuned and we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرَةً Is this possible? Even after we are crumbled bones? When we dig a grave, we see nothing except crumbled bones. Is it possible that we will be back in this form of life, in our bodies? If this is true, Allah says, قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذَا كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةٌ If we were to be resurrected, and our crumbled bones to be fixed and reinstated in its original form, Allah says, they say it would in that case be a return with loss. This is not what we hoped for. This is not what we lived for. And surely this is not what we had died for. We thought, as disbelievers say, we thought that life began with being born, and it ends with dying. That is it. So make the best of it. Enjoy it as it lasts. And that is why we lived it to the fullest, so we thought. Because it's, as they say, you only live once. And Muslims don't believe in that. We believe that this is not the life we are looking for. Our life is in Jannah. And this is why we tolerate what we get. That is why we're patient. And we worship Allah, though it's sometimes not as what our hearts desire. And that is why we refrain from things that we love and desire, because Allah does not love it. And that is why they complain, this is a return with loss. This is not what we wanted. So, after being resurrected, they say it would in that case be a return with loss. This is not what we lived for. And surely this is not what we've died for. We were not expecting life after death. And once they see that, they say to themselves that this is a return with loss. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةٌ But only it will be a single shout, a single zajra, which is the second blowing in the trumpet, and فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ Which means that when, behold, they find themselves over earth alive after their death. So, this shows you in this Makki surah how short, how profound and strong these verses are. Very short, but very meaningful. It's like whips of lashes. You just feel it on your back, waking you up. Listen, this is not the life that you would live forever. You're going to die. And the life that awaits you is on the Day of Judgment. So do well and you will be rewarded well. If you do not do that, you will be punished and you will be shocked when you are resurrected because this is not what you have prepared for. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ السَّاهِرَةِ is the surface of the earth after it changes. Now, in these beautiful short ayahs, we could learn a number of lessons. Among them is, as stated before, that Allah Azza wa Jal can swear with whatever of His creatures that He would want to swear with. And we will find that throughout the remaining surahs, that Allah swears with the dawn, with the sun, with the moon, with the night, with everything that Allah Azza wa Jal would like to honor. And we will come to discuss this more, inshallah, at the proper time and place. Secondly, We learn that the souls of the believers are extracted in a very gentle way, while the souls of the disbelievers are extracted in a painful way. And thirdly, again and again and again, Allah Azza wa Jal plants the aqidah and the belief of the day of judgment and the process of resurrection on and on in our hearts, so that this would be the best driver for us to please Him and staying away from what displeases Him. Because the more I believe in the existence of the day of judgment, the better person I would be. So before I do a specific sin, I would think twice, because I know that even if I'm not caught by the law, I know that Allah Azza wa Jal would hold me accountable for what I do. After that, Allah Azza wa Jal entertains, if you wish, His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam faced a lot of troubles in Mecca. He was ordered not to defend himself. The Muslims were ordered not to attack or to fight or to raise a sword. And they were suffering because it was a handicap match. The disbelievers, the idol worshippers, would torture them, would abuse them, would say whatever they want, while the Muslims could not fight back. For 13 years, they were ordered to tolerate and to be patient. And this had its toll on the Muslims, especially on the Prophet ﷺ, who watches his loved ones, those who believed in him, being tortured, being imprisoned, and even forced to migrate and leave to Abyssinia for nothing except that they believe in the oneness of Allah the Almighty. And is this a crime? When is virtue a crime? Well, nowadays it is a crime. If you abide by your religion, you're a criminal. If a woman decides to protect her chastity and wears the niqab that covers her beauty, it's a crime, and she would be fined for that. Why? Because you worship Allah. If you worship Satan, if you don't believe in the existence of Allah, you're the man to them. But by Allah, you will suffer in hell. And that is what you will learn from reading the Quran. How to free yourself from worshiping servants and creatures to only worshiping Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. So with all this in mind, with the suffering of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jal entertains His messenger with stories of previous messengers that preceded him, so that he would follow their examples and he would feel relaxed. He will find the tranquility that the road I'm walking on is the same road that all messengers and prophets of Allah have walked before me. So Allah tells him, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى? Has there come to you the story of Moses, peace be upon him? And Moses, to those who do not know, is one of the firm and strong will messengers of Allah. And there are five. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're the strong and firm will messengers of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the Prophet alayhi wa sallam to be patient as they were patient as well. Prophet Moses is the one whom Allah has spoken to, as we will come to see insha'Allah. Allah spoke to him directly. This means that he heard Allah's voice. And this is an honor no one shared with Moses other than the Prophet alayhi wasallam, whom Allah has spoken to as well. And he is the one whom Allah Azza wa Jal had written down the tablets with his own hands for him. He's the messenger most mentioned in the Quran, in so many verses, in so many surahs. Allah Azza wa Jal has narrated to us his life story, his biography, since he was born, and how his mother feared for his life and thrown him in the river, and how he was taken into the palace of Pharaoh, who wanted to kill him, only to upbring him to become a man, and how he killed the Coptic, and how he fled Egypt and how he's migrated for 10 years and came back as a messenger, and how he called Pharaoh to Islam, and how Allah Azza wa Jal split the sea into two for him, and how Allah Azza wa Jal gave him the message and spoke to him. All of this was given to Prophet Musa, peace be upon him, who shares a lot of his life events with the Prophet alayhi salam. There are many similarities between both of them. And we love Musa, peace be upon him. As Muslims, we love him. You know why? When the Prophet ascended to the seventh heaven in the miraculous night journey, Allah Azza wa Jal mandated 50 prayers within the day and night. Now imagine, 24 hours, this means that every half an hour there's a prayer. You have to go to the masjid. When he came back and told Prophet Musa about these 50 prayers, Musa gave him an advice, peace be upon him. He said, go back to your Lord and ask him for reduction, because I've been with the Jews and your people are not so different. Your people will not be able to fulfill this. Ask Allah for reduction. So the Prophet goes back to Allah and asks him for reduction. And Allah takes 5 out of the 50. And he goes back to Musa, and Musa says to him, go back and ask for reduction. And Allah reduces 5 and 5 and 5 until only 5 daily prayers remain. And Musa tells him, go back and ask Allah for reduction. And the Prophet says, I'm too shy to go back so many times. And Allah Azza wa Jal reveals to them that what I say does not change. They are 5 in times, but they are 50 in reward. So we are grateful to Prophet Musa, peace be upon him, that he reduced this burden from 50 into 5 easy, beautiful, nice prayers we perform in the day and the night, and we barely feel it. Alhamdulillah, the Almighty. All praise be to Allah, the Almighty. Yet, unfortunately, still Muslims find these 5 daily prayers a burden and they don't pray it on time. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.